Every kid on TikTok is throwing up this weird new 6-7 hand sign, but almost nobody's asking where it came from or what's riding in on that meme. Today, we're tracing 6-7 from a Philly drill rapper named Skrilla through Santeria rituals, blood sacrifices, and an Orisha trickster god of the crossroads, all the way to Crowley, 777, John D's 007, and the number 13 as a symbol of breaking God's order. Is 6-7 just dumb brain rot slang or a chaos sigil the culture is unconsciously manifesting? Today, we're going to talk about it. All right. Okay. Having studio problems as always, as usual. And listen, before we start, I dropped a post on Patreon. And if you haven't gotten in, I've got that promo code for a buck. You can get in with the promo code drama right now until November 30th. And you can chime in. I've got a post on Patreon I did maybe a week or two ago. And I said, okay, guys, what do you want for the year 2026? I'm prepping for some shows, okay? And I want to give you what you want. And a lot of people dropped a ton of great ideas, and I'm kind of going off of what I like, what I vibe with, and what other people had liked in the comments. All right. And Jersey J said, and I quote, I think we need to talk about 6-7. Not only does the viral meme have all the kids saying it, but also doing a hand gesture with open palms facing up and alternating up and down motion. According to online, 6-7 could refer to several things. Most notably, it can correlate with the old saying, at sixes and sevens, which means a state of confusion and disorder. But maybe it also has something to do with the 6 and 7 pointed stars, Crowley, Kabbalah, Thelema. Where did it start? What's the hidden agenda behind the phenomenon? And what are they secretly trying to manifest through it? Well, I'll tell you what, this was quite the ordeal that we've opened up, Jersey J. And there were 9 likes for this one, which is a higher amount. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I don't know anything about this 6-7 thing. Because the truth is, I don't have kids, right? Me and Josie don't have any kids. And I don't associate with the youth. Because, I don't know, whatever reason. And I'm completely out of touch with what kids are doing. So I had no idea what this was. I've never heard anyone say it. I didn't know this was a thing at all, right? So I thought, well, that's interesting. 6-7, huh? Because, you know, the numerology, gematria stuff, always something worth looking at. So what I did was I started casually looking into it. And then next thing I know, I'm deep down the rabbit hole. And I said, okay, this is a great idea for a show. So we're going to do it. And as you probably know, the origin of this whole 6-7 thing goes back to a rapper named Skrilla, who released a track in December 2024 called Doot Doot 6-7. This sound got uploaded to TikTok. It took off with some, you know, basketball culture stuff. And Skrilla is interesting. He has an interesting origin story that we're going to unpack, and this is going to spiral out of control real quick, okay? He's a drill rapper, which means like a drill means it's kind of like gangster stuff, right? Gangster rap, basically. And he's a drill rapper from Kensington, Philadelphia, and he's done a bunch of features. Like, he's pretty popular, right? He's done features with Lefty Gunplay, Yachty, Lil Uzi Vert, you know, which I've done multiple, I don't know, shows, I guess, on Lil Uzi Vert. And that name actually is play on the word Lucifer, because he's a big like Satanist, right? He follows Marilyn Manson and the Church of Satan and all that stuff. I'll tell you what, this studio is driving me nuts, folks. Get on that Patreon and buy me a new studio. So he has this so Skrilla has this interview on Genius where they ask him about the meaning of Doot Doot 6-7. He said that after he had a car crash, he was chatting and joking with some people about Baby Shark Doot, which is a different meme culture thing. And he did it in about 6 to 7 minutes. All right. Now, I would play the clip so you can hear how silly this sounds. But I'm getting harassed nonstop for playing clips now on Spotify and YouTube. It's a whole nightmare. So I guess I can't play clips for you guys anymore. I don't know. It's annoying. But anyways, he says that TK, who's a basketball player, is the one that started doing the hand gesture, which the hand gesture, if you're watching the video version of this show on Tier 2 or YouTube, go subscribe to my YouTube, Add Occult Symbolism, if you haven't. Help me get to 100,000. A lot of you already did sign up or subscribe, so thank you. They do this alternating hand motion thing, right? And the alternation is, could be symbolic of as above, so below, if you want to get a little conspiratorial minded, which you do, all right? But in multiple interviews, Skrilla just says 6-7 is simply just what's in his head when he recorded that. Which, right off the bat, when you get into the occult and the new age, that sounds a lot like channeling or automatic writing, which we know a lot of our music from the past has done. You know, Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath, they've all done this kind of tactic of automatic writing. And it'll make more sense as to what this means when we look at Skrilla's religion, which is about making contact with various gods. So I don't know anything about this, right? I'm looking into it. I'm looking up Skrilla. I go to Metro Philadelphia, and there's an article that talks about his new album, Underworld. And it says, but his stuff has always been a style free from the usuals of hip-hop, with lyrics rich with his take on being of African-American and Mexican heritage, with stories of finding his way through the world with religion, Santeria. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And it's kind of crazy. It's almost embarrassing a little bit because I study the occult so much. I've never done a show about Santeria. I've never really talked about it. Heck, hasn't really come up in my studies a whole lot. My exposure to Santeria was from the 90s and the Sublime song. You know the song, I Don't Practice Santeria. And I always thought, in passing, that Santeria was a mixture of voodoo and Catholicism. Turns out that's not accurate at all. I feel like I've been Mandela affected. Like, that was the narrative up until yesterday when I started researching all this. Santeria is actually rooted in West Africa with the religion of Yoruba. And when the African people were taken as slaves to Cuba, the colonizers forced them into Catholicism. So what they did was the Yoruba followers would hide their gods and goddesses, Orishas, behind Catholic saints. So there's actually no Catholicism in there at all, right? And it's not voodoo at all. And there's a similar story of how voodoo got to America through slaves from Africa, but it's a totally different set of gods and worship. So, I mean, to the casual person, I think maybe it's a simple way of describing it, but it's not accurate, okay? So Skrilla was on No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, self-professed. And Adam 22 talked to him about this whole thing with Santeria. And Skrilla says he's a Santo, which is the name of the practitioner. And he goes on to talk about how he sacrificed goats and chickens and mice and how he's actually not allowed to explain it. He said, you can Google it and research it, but you're not going to find the real meaning. He's implying that this is an occult religion. It's hidden from the masses. I should also note that Skrilla was huffing massive amounts of whippets during that No Jumper interview. But if you go to Skrilla's works, like his Instagram, he's posted photos of Santeria to his Instagram. And I found on Reddit, someone posted an image he had posted somewhere. And a commenter was saying that the white shell, because it's like a giant seashell with some jewelry and beads and things. One of the commenters said that white shells in Santeria is called a cowrie shell. And that's also used in Yoruba, which makes sense because after I started researching this, like, the two are inseparable, right? The Santeria comes from Yoruba. And that the yellow and the green beads are for Orula, the father of mysteries, in Yoruba, and this could have been part of some kind of animal sacrifice ritual. And Oruba is like, they have like a major sort of creator deity of Oruba, I think that was the name. And then all the Orishas that are like kind of like the saints, you know, gods and goddesses. And we talked about Yoruba before, actually several times. We talked about Yoruba way back when we analyzed Beyonce, who portrayed herself as Oshun at the 2017 Grammys, as well as in her Black is King videos that I did a full analysis on the Black is King, and I connected it with Crowley's Goddess of Babylon and told you what the real meaning of Queen Bee is. This is back in August 2020. I'll put a link in the show notes. If you're on the supporter feeds, you're going to have to scroll back to August of 2020 and take a listen to the Black is King. That was actually a pretty fascinating video. And Yoruba is kind of what you will find in the movie Sinners, which, I look, if you're on Patreon, you get to vote on what movies I do analysis on sometimes. And I was going to do one on Sinners, but it got outvoted. So I was like, hey, whatever. Because Michael B. Jordan, his middle name is a reference to Yoruba, because that's his ancestry. And what's even stranger is that when I was a synchronicity, if you will, when I was prepping for this show, I sort of paused from reading, and I was like, okay, let me watch It, Welcome to Derry. Episode 3 just came out last week. I'm late catching up. And in that episode, there's this boy who talks about how his uncle in Cuba was practicing Santeria. And he even talks about the rituals used to summon the ancestors and the Babaloa. And supposedly that's what the B in Michael B. Jordan, Babaloa, is what it apparently comes from. So I thought that was super odd. I mean, what are the odds? And that's another thing, is that our pop culture is unpacking a lot of these things, and you could say influencing people between Beyonce and the reference on It to Sinners to this 6-7 Doot Doot Skrilla song. Skrilla also has a track called Santeria, and there's lyrics of him talking to Ogun and Orishas, and the album is called Santos, another, you know, Santeria reference. And if I went to his Instagram, if you scroll all the way back, the first post that he has on there is an album cover of him on a cross like Christ, but he's clearly not Christian, right? So what's up with that? Well, I've got ideas, and I'm going to share them in the exciting conclusion. And the track doesn't really talk about Santeria all that much. It's drill rap, so it's, you know, you know what to expect. Now, there's also an interview of Skrilla talking about Santeria practices and talking about how you could put people's names inside of a pot and to Ogun, one of the gods, and you could put a curse on them or even kill them. So I'm thinking right off the bat, like, look, I know that officially they claim they only do animal sacrifices, but he's literally talking about killing people in the music. He's literally telling you that you can do a ritual that you can put a curse and kill somebody. I don't think that's so crazy to say that maybe he's done this. Maybe. I don't know the guy. I have no idea. All I can go off of is judging him by what he says and does. And he also has an album called Underworld. And I'm going to read you from his Instagram post that explains it. He says, Underworld was a project I actually poured my heart out to create. I don't think I will ever be able to make a project that meant so much to me like this one. This album wasn't made for people to like. It was made for me and my Orishas. This was me actually giving you the cheat codes to life a lot won't understand, but if you know, you know. I know all my Santos, Paleros, my Amberos understand. If you actually sit there and soak it in, you will learn a lot. So here he is, clearly trying to influence people to join his religious faith. He had a song, a track with Lil Uzi Vert, aka Lucifer, called A Walking Dead, that had, it kind of got removed from the streamers because of, apparently from Uzi's label, but the lyrics are interesting. He talks about someone asking him who he prays to, and he says, I don't pray to God. And while he's doing this, he's got his hands in the 666 hand, I don't know how you pronounce it or how you describe it, the 666 hand over his eye, which we've seen countless times from celebrities It's supposed to represent the womb of the Illuminati. It's supposed to represent 666 because it's three overlapping sixes. So I find it interesting that he's doing it at the same time. And then he says, but we had some conversation. I ain't gonna lie. You a demon, I'm a demon. There's two demons in this cat. And I interpret that as he's talking about a Hellcat, Lekar, and Lil Uzi Vert and Skrilla are the two demons. So here he openly says or implies there's some demonic activity, some devilish behaviors, okay? Because I know a lot of people, they're going to get real upset and say, oh my God, you're so stupid. Yoruba isn't devil worship. It's about our gods and goddesses and all this stuff, right? Look, I'm just telling you what I saw. You decide what you want to believe about it. Skrilla also employs lots of masks. And to wear a mask is to suppress the ego. It's kind of a ritualistic take. The mask he wears is very Leatherface-esque. We just did a whole show on Texas Chainsaw Massacre in October, which turned out to be very Illuminate confirmed. In fact, if you're on Spotify, I just got it reinstated. It got taken down for copyright violations. Anyway, there's an Instagram photo of him as Leatherface. So it kind of ties into the, you know, Illuminate confirmed of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't know how crazy you want to get with it. I'm throwing it all at you. You decide. I have my opinions and I'm going to share them at the end. He also has an Instagram post of a Cameroon African mask that he wears. He does lots of these hand gestures, various kinds. There's not just one. He does the sort of the two alternating palms thing for 6-7. On his Instagram, he also shares a photo of a young girl who is doing the one hand as the 666 hand and the other hand as a 7. There's also another hand gesture he does that's kind of like an as above, so below in an alternating yin-yang type pattern. It's hard to describe. We're talking about opposing polarities, though, in all of these, which is, you know, very much important to the occult. It's about understanding the nature of good and evil as the opposing polarities and such. Now, one more example of what he says that's alarming to me, we're going to talk about later. And not to be a teaser, there's something important, but I got to explain some other things before we go there with it. But there's something actually even more alarming than all this stuff, okay? So somehow, this whole thing from Skrilla, the 6-7 thing, gets embraced by the youth. And they now, I guess, say it out loud or comment it in order to indicate that something is brain rot or there's no meaning in it. It depends on who you ask, apparently. From what I've heard, they use it to be disruptive in classrooms and school. So now it's kind of this counterculture thing because kids aren't allowed to say it now. And anytime you take something away, kids are even more drawn to it. But the young kids like it because it's like they're getting one over on the adults because the adults can't figure out what it means. Or the adults want to assign a meaning. And to them, they're like, look, it's chaos. It doesn't mean anything. And it comes all the way full circle to corporate America embracing it. That's how fast this thing took off, went around the world and came back. They're using it, corporate America is using it for promo codes and stuff. Dictionary.com named it the word of the year. And they said it's describing the interjection as a burst of energy that spreads and connects people long before anyone agrees on what it actually means. Now, all this talk about this chaotic meme is very reminiscent to the 23 Enigma, which is the law of fives used in the Discordian religion slash joke that's all about worshiping the goddess of chaos, Eris, right? Because that's what Discordianism is all about. It's about chaos. And it's about finding the number 23 in everything. And now people are finding 6-7 in everything. So it's very much from the same playbook, which makes me wonder if it's not part of Operation Mind F. Okay, I'm not going to say the word. There's a thing in Discordia called Operation Mind F, and it's about screwing with the masses with various conspiracy theories about Illuminati stuff and so on. There's also a play on numbers that we need to look at real quick, real briefly. Let's start with 007, right? Because 7 is part of 6-7. John Dee, the astrologer for Queen Elizabeth, the first intelligence agent, the guy who channeled entities and wrote the language of Enoch, with which Aleister Crowley and Joseph Smith allegedly would use in the Amalantra working and Jack Parsons for the Babylon working. Anyway, John Dee would sign his letters to the queen with 007, symbolized as two eyeballs, and 7 used as a magical seal for protection. 7 is a number that represents and symbolizes the divine order of God, like the 7 days of creation, and it also represents completion. Crowley uses this 7 all the time in Thelema, his religion. He uses it in the Star of Babylon with 77. He also used it in Lieber, his book titled Lieber 777, as a perfected spiritual completion, the path of divine energy in the lightning flash of Kabbalah. Right? He's talking about the perfection of the magician. Side note, Beyonce's Black is King analysis that I conducted years ago also uses this 777 symbolism, which I tied to the Whore of Babylon, which is Crowley's sigil that uses the sevens. Crowley also used the numbers 5 and 6 as his universal hexagram. It uses 5 and 6, kind of like 6 and 7. The universal hexagram uses a 6-sided hexagram with a 5-sided pentagram or rose to represent the as above, so below, the macrocosm and the microcosm, the magician and the universe. So if you added 5 and 6, you get 11, which is the number for magic, as per Crowley. And 11 represents the union of man with God. The microcosm and the macrocosm coming together. That's what the universal hexagram represents through the numbers 5 and 6, okay? So let's look at the numbers 6 and 7. 6 and 7 equal 13. 6 is the number of the macrocosm or the perfected man. 7 is the number of the divine order of God. 13 represents the breaking of order or chaos, because 13 represents transcendence and breaking from the divine order and finding one's own way. It's very much a number of antinomianism, taking the left-hand path. It's something new. It's leaving the established order entirely. So you can see that 6-7 very much represents chaos, and that's the energy it embodies. So let's put it all together in conclusion. Specifically looking at the 6-7 thing, I think it's a manifestation from the archetypal collective unconscious for all of us, right? The collective unconscious is the realm that we can all experience and feel. You know, we all see red, we think danger. What's another good example? We all see a snake, we get scared, stuff like that, right? I don't know if that's a good example, but that could be a learned behavior. But anyway, it's kind of like the unified field that David Lynch was doing transcendental meditation and saying, you meditate, you go within, and you eventually come in contact with the collective unconscious, the unified field that we can all plug into. Skrilla, the rapper, I believe, received a download from these gods that he's in contact with through his religion of Santeria and his rituals, and it downloaded into his mind. Remember, he said, it's like, it's just in my brain. I just said it. And he propagated this through the subconscious of the masses as another symbol for chaos and breaking up the established order. Now, I teased about the most alarming thing that I saw about him. It's a track called Die For Me. And the lyrics go a little something like this. Snatching souls, that means to kill somebody, or or other types of things that I don't think fit here, but hey. Snatching souls, I never told. B-word, that's a code that's in the Deen. Staffallah, Allahu Akbar, can you help me make it far? Having talks with Aligua, he told me, not never far. He right here, 762 Micro Drake, take down a bear. I'm posted in the hood, my feet on land, I'm aware, I triple dare. N-word try to walk down the block, he getting switched. Fart. I don't know, that's what it says in the lyrics. And a switch is something you attach to the back of a, like a Glock, and it now becomes a fully automatic. That's what he's talking about. And it ain't still leave my brain the way I seen an N-word done twitched. The N-word when he seen that Draco flash in front of his face. Classic gangster, this what happens when a YN, that means a young N-word, get a taste of N-word's blood. Blood savage. Sacrifice a blood addict. Now look, I don't want to be over sensational, because it is drill rap after all. So it's going to talk about some dark stuff. It's going to talk about murders and selling drugs and so on, right? But he's literally talking about snatching souls, killing folks, and being addicted to it. Specifically, he calls it sacrificing. That's the alarming part of this. Because in his religion, it is about animal sacrifice. And he's talking about having talks with Elugua, who's never far away. Who is Elugua? Well, Elugua is a god in Yoruba. Elugua is an Orisha. And its figure, because I've got a book on Yoruba, that's, I dug into all kinds of stuff. Elugua is depicted with a figure made from the cowrie shell. That was the photo that someone posted on Reddit from Skrilla's Instagram. All right. Now, if you go to brickthology.com, they have an article about Elugua, because ironically, the book I have doesn't talk about Elugua specifically. It says, he is the first Orisha created by Olodumare, which I think Olodumare is actually the supreme god. I could have said that wrong at the beginning. I think Olodumare is the supreme god. And was present to witness the rest of creation. Elugua is a divine trickster who is seen as both young and old at once. The Orisha of the crossroads. He provides numerous opportunities and choices wherein he will enjoy sitting back to watch the chaos unfold. Oh my goodness. And the website says that the sacrifices to offer Elugua are candy, cigars, coconut, and rum. But recall, Skrilla himself said that you won't find the real answers to their religion online. All right. Or in the books, I guess. In the book I have on Yoruba, it talks about physical sacrifices and, items like the cigars and the candies and the blood and even animal blood sacrifices. They call it Igbo. And here's my beef. Okay. Here's my beef with this religion. And I don't care what you worship. You know this. You know me well enough. I really don't care. As long as you're not hurting other people, I could care less. You could worship Satan. You could be any of the religions. Just don't, start screwing with other people. And to me, that includes animals. That's right. I'm a big bleeding heart granola lib. A big old pita. In fact, I just bought a stupid, this thing you use to pick up spiders, because we're getting spiders now in the house because it's getting cold out. And I try not to kill them. I mean, sometimes I'll kill it. If it's a big, nasty spider and he's somewhere I don't want him, like, I might kill him. But I try to save the bugs. You know, my beautiful wife, Josie, she's got a pure soul. Potty mouth, but a pure soul. And she kind of made me come around to that. And I do feel bad for bugs. And I don't want to kill them. I mean, I can if I have to. I'm not that soft. I just think, like, all right, live and let live. Okay, spider didn't mean to come in my house. Maybe you got to get out. So I do. We save all kinds of bugs. And what I like about Christianity and Christ, you know, Christ is cool. He came along. He was like, hey, you know what? You guys really don't need to start to kill anything anymore. You don't need to do blood sacrifices anymore. And of course, you know, they killed him. But that was the whole point of his sacrifices. So we don't have to do that anymore. So you get these religions that are still doing animal sacrifices. And I think that's fair game to criticize. I think it's wrong. The animal did nothing to deserve this Because there's photos of Skrilla holding dead chickens and all kinds of stuff. But look, I eat meat, so I get it. Sometimes animals have to die. So if it's gonna, if it's time to eat it and it's part of the religious ceremony, okay, that's a little better. But if we're just killing stuff to appease some god, like, that's crazy. That's what I talked about in my book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, was all the ancient rituals they would do in South America. They would just kill countless kids to these rain gods, Chalk. Same with Moloch. Like, these people were crazy. Like, this is what happens when this idea takes root, is things get out of hand, right? And what kind of sacrifice is that anyway? Like, that's not really a sacrifice. The whole idea of a sacrifice is you're giving up something to the gods. And it's like, well, if you're giving up something that you were going to kill anyway, is that a sacrifice? I don't know. Are you giving up much? And here's an example of what I'm talking about. There's a book by Sylvia Hill about Yoruba that I have, and I'm going to read you from it. It talks about this festival for Ogun, one of the gods. The Ogun festival is held in Ondo and Ekiti sometime in September each year. The namesake Orisha is celebrated, Ogun, the god of iron, war, labor, and technology. He is revered as the patron deity of blacksmiths, hunters, warriors, and all who work with metal. This festival is marked by rituals, prayers, music, dance, and feasting, all dedicated to receiving his blessings for protection, strength, and prosperity. Ogun is seen as a fierce protector and a bringer of civilization through the use of tools and technology. Quick pause here. That also sounds exactly like Tubal Cain, which also ties into the 007 thing and Freemasonry. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but Tubal Cain connects into this. If you want more on that, I wrote a book called Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture based on the podcast name, Amazon Audible, and occultsymbolism.com, where you can get signed paperbacks. If you want to read about Tubal Cain, I think it was in a section I did on Sabrina the Teenage Witch or something like that. Anyway, back to the book. They're talking about this festival to this god. A fair warning, though, during the rituals, animals like dogs, oxen, roosters, or snakes are sacrificed by slowly pulling them apart. Sacrificing animals is the main feature of the festival. The divine entity won't be appeased without it. Two people pull the animal apart by moving slowly in opposite directions, and just before it's about to die, a priest kills it with a machete. It is always a male creature, since Ogun doesn't like to eat females. Offerings like kola nuts, palm oil, and yams are also provided. And that's my beef. You see what I'm saying? Like, why? First off, like, why you get it? Dogs are the best animals on the planet. That's disgusting to sacrifice them. I mean, I like all animals, right? All animals have personalities. But to do it in such a horrific way? I mean, that's torture. This is exactly what I was talking about in in Aliens. Oh, I don't even know the name of my book titles. Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1. I talked about the Aztecs and how they would used to do human sacrifice. They would, the whole purpose of, you know, they go to the top of the temple and they rip the heart out. And the whole point was to be as violent and horrific as possible. You wanted maximum fear. Because that way, the more traumatic it was, the more that energy could make it to the gods, okay? And like I said, you can believe whatever nonsense you want to believe, but, I mean, leave the dogs and kids out of it, right? So when Beyonce and Skrilla are endorsing these religions that still do practices like this, okay, and Christianity's the real problem, okay, got it, buddy. So, what if, back to the theories here, what if Skrilla is doing blood sacrifices for the Santeria gods, which we know he is, he's literally got photos of him doing it, particularly Elagua, who's from the Crossroads, which takes us into the Faustian Bargain from Robert Johnson, right? We know that already. And now he's watching chaos unfold, which is symbolized by the 6-7 movement. And it, you know, 6-7 is the symbol of chaos. It embodies the energy of the trickster, and it's all about unleashing chaos for Elagua. And these kids do it. Why? Because they're rebellious little tricksters, and they're trying to create chaos. So that's the real hidden meaning of 6-7. thank you for listening to me. Good call on that topic, Jersey J. Appreciate that. And if you want to join the, you got time still. I'm still reading through the post. There's, I don't know how many comments, 100 comments maybe, of ideas for shows to do. I'm going to cherry pick out from them with what I like. So if you want to get in there and drop your 2 cents, you can get in, use promo code DRAMA. You got till November 30th. Hurry up and get in there. I only do this like once a year. Get in there and drop your 2 cents and I'll take a look. Okay? All right. Thank you for your support. Till next time, stay positive.